Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to see all of you here. I'm Lori Robinson, Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Justice Programs in the U.S. Department of Justice. And it's a great honor for me to join Vice President Biden and Attorney General Holder in welcoming all of you here today. I know you've come from all over the country, and let me just say it's a privilege to have all of you here. I'd also like to welcome two members of Congress that we have here, Congressman Conyers and Congressman Carnahan. I'd also like to welcome the Associate Attorney General of the United States, Tom Perrelli, and the head of DEA, Michelle Lenhart, the head of the U.S. Marshals, John Clark, and the head of the COPS office, Barney Malekian. And finally, thank you to the Medal of Valor Review Board members who are here with us today. Now, we're here this afternoon to recognize 14 extraordinary individuals for their quick thinking, their selflessness, and exceptional courage. These are law enforcement officers, firefighters, and paramedics who went beyond the call of duty and risked their lives for fellow citizens and colleagues. We know that every day, public safety officers in this country make tremendous personal sacrifices. The Medal of Valor is an expression, really, of our nation's deep gratitude. And in conferring this honor upon these brave men, we say a collective thank you for their service and their commitment. I'm now privileged to introduce our next speaker, the nation's top law enforcement officer. As a career prosecutor, Eric Holder has worked closely with public safety officers at the local and federal levels. He understands the challenges they face, and he appreciates the sacrifices they make. He brought that understanding and appreciation to his current position, and I'll tell you, he works every day to support state and local public safety officers. I'm so pleased that my boss, Eric Holder, who I can tell you is a real friend to law enforcement in this country, could be here today. Please join me in welcoming the Attorney General of the United States.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody who knows Lori knows that the notion that I'm her boss is really kind of, that's kind of funny. But thank you, Lori, for those very kind words. Congressman Conyers, Congressman Carnahan, it's good to see you both. And I want to thank you, Lori, more importantly, for your leadership of the Office of Justice Programs and for your support for public safety officers across the country. It's a privilege to join with you and with my good friend, Vice President Biden, and so many proud colleagues, friends, and family members in recognizing the outstanding work and the inspiring contributions of the 14 public servants that we're all gathered here today to honor. I'm especially grateful for this opportunity to acknowledge and to personally thank each one of you for the example that you've set, for the courage that you have shown, and for the differences that you have all made. Now, as Lori noted, the Medal of Valor is the highest award to public safety officers in our country. And today's recipients are part of a very, very select group. Now, although you work alongside some of the nation's most talented and most effective public servants, public police officers and firefighters, sheriffs and EMTs, rescue squads and highway patrols, each one of you has stood out from that very esteemed group. You've shown both fearlessness and selflessness, and you have distinguished yourselves through unwavering determination and a willingness to risk your own life to save the lives of others. You've braved raging fires and storms and battled armed and dangerous criminals. You've created life-saving rescue and escape plans and sustained life-threatening wounds as well. Amid explosions and gunshots, you have dragged your colleagues to safety. Now, one of today's awardees dipped a helicopter that he was piloting into treacherous waters to save drowning hurricane victims. Another jumped over a 6-foot barbed wire fence to save an officer he'd never met. And all of you have gone above and beyond the call of duty. The wife of a police officer who was rescued by one of the firefighters we honor today once asked, How do you thank somebody for giving your husband his life and keeping your family a family? Well, today we will try. Now, of course, this award cannot capture the full measure of our gratitude, and it cannot heal the wounds of seeing colleagues suffer or, in some cases, making the ultimate sacrifice. But I hope that today's awardees, the Medal of Valor, will serve as a reminder that your work strengthens our nation's finest traditions of public service and that the American people are and always will be in your debt. Let me also say, on behalf of our nation's Department of Justice, that it's a privilege to count you all as partners, and that's what you all are, our partners. Your work is at the core of the department's number one mission, to protect the safety of the American people. You are on the front lines of this effort, and I assure you that in addition to my deep appreciation, you also have, deserve, and continue to expect my full support. Now, even as we celebrate the contributions that define your work and have distinguished your careers, we must also be mindful of the challenges that remain before us. The threats that we face are real. They are urgent, and they are increasingly complex. But we will overcome them. And I believe the very skill and commitment that we honor today will drive our future success. Because of you, and because of your colleagues, I'm optimistic about what we can accomplish in the days ahead, and I'm proud, very proud, of each one of you. Now, I would like to introduce a public servant whose record of leadership on behalf of public safety officers is really unparalleled. He authored the largest and, I think, one of the most important crime bills in American history, the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act. And he has spent a lifetime supporting and advancing the work of public safety officers of every stripe. No one has done more. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a friend, a colleague, a mentor, a great person, the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Very nice, huh? Folks, thank you very much. General, thank you. Folks, you know, as Vice President or as President or any public officer who has been elected to high public office, you have a lot of responsibilities. Some of them, as John can tell you, and John and I have been friends for — he's really my dean. John and I have been friends for over 35 years. Some of them are just your duty. Some of them you really wish you didn't have to do. And some of them you are proud to do, and others you relish being able to do. I'm truly flattered that I'm in a position today to be able to recognize you guys. I have been working with public safety officers my entire career. Years when John and I shared responsibility on the Senate and House Judiciary Committee, we spent most of my time doing these — dealing with these issues. We have monuments to your fallen brethren, both the fire service and the police service. We have been able to work towards seeing to it that families are not left behind, and pensions are available. But it's really an honor to be able to be here to look in the eye some of the men that I admire the most who are here to tell the story. A lot of your colleagues never get here to tell the story, and some of you almost didn't get here. Ladies and gentlemen, you all know this, and particularly the families, but the incredible act of courage that's represented in these 14 men have prevented harm, saved lives. The men we honor today have ended violent standoffs, have rescued wounded comrades, have taken gunmen on in the face of great danger, refusing to give up or back down even after suffering severe injuries, reacted quickly in crisis to protect the innocent, literally walked through fire to help neighbors in need. And the New York fire chief, Ed Corker, once famously stated after 9/11, he said, when a man becomes a fireman, his greatest act of bravery has already been accomplished. And he went on to say, what he does after that is in the line of duty. That goes for you law enforcement officers as well. It's amazing to me, all of the graduations I've attended, all of the shields I've pinned on in my career, and literally hundreds upon hundreds of them. It's amazing to me what makes you guys tick. In my neighborhood, you either became a cop, fireman, or a priest. It was difficult in that order. Or you joined a union. But guys, what always amazes me, is how you just do it like it is part of your DNA. I don't know what you're made up of. I think you're all crazy, but God love you for it. So thank God there's men and women like you who are ready to do what you do every day. You risk your lives every single day to help the men and women, the 99% of whom you don't know, and you've never known. You probably don't even end up knowing their names. You step into harm's way to form a line between safety and violence, calm and chaos, and hope and despair, you know. And I want you to know that the President and I recognize this bravery and that you display simply by putting on the uniform. That is not a joke. To you, it's getting dressed every morning. But you know in your gut, your spouses know, your mothers know, your fathers know, every time you don that uniform, every time you walk out to do your job, you have no idea what's coming up that day. But you know anything that comes up is not likely to be something you're looking forward to. The danger you face just by showing up for work is pretty remarkable. I've never been able to figure out, as I said, what makes you tick. But as my mom would say, God bless you all for doing what you do. And I want to take this opportunity to thank your families, who, quite frankly, there was a famous poet who said, John Milton, he said, they also serve who only stand and wait. Lots of times it's harder to stand and wait. How many times have you turned on the television and seen the 6 o'clock news and there's a raging fire? Or you see on television there's a gunfight or a hostage situation. Every one of you I know, your heart sinks just for a second, thinking, is that my husband? Is that my wife? So we owe you the families more than we can pay you. Because I tell you what, it takes a special breed of person to support these guys, to support the women just like them who do the same kind of thing. The officers we honor here today have been singled out for going above and beyond what is ordinarily called for, just doing your duty every day, which in and of itself is always a challenge. From the firefighters who sustained second-degree burns after running into a collapsing building to rescue an injured comrade, to off-duty detectives who took down a fleeing shoplifter while lying on the ground, having been shot repeatedly himself. We also know that there are thousands more like you, who wonder when they read about you, will they have the courage to do exactly what you did? Just like you probably wondered if the circumstance that brought you here today occurred in your career. And the truth of the matter is, the vast majority of your comrades just instinctively would step up and do the same thing. But you guys are really tested. It doesn't matter until you've met the test, until you actually have it happen to you. Today is a day for every man and woman in uniform to feel proud of you, and quite frankly, to feel proud of yourself, to feel proud of themselves. You know, I know you didn't seek or expect this moment of recognition. I'm sure when each of you were in the dilemma you were in that brought you here today, you didn't say, you know, I wonder if I do this, I'm going to get recognized. I wonder if I do this, that, you know, the President may call me down to the White House, or I may get to see the Attorney General and maybe avoid the Vice President. I mean, seriously, it's amazing how reflexively you act. And it's because of the training you've gotten. These players are the character you possess. These awards never crossed your mind when you were saving hurricane victims, as was pointed out. Or, and by the way, we're going to go through each and every one of you. We're not just, this is not a matter of, I want the press to know. This is not a matter of just ticking off generically. We're going to read what each and every one of you did. But, you know, grabbing folks from a submerged truck or scaling barbed wire fences has been mentioned, or coming to the aid of a wounded officer. You probably didn't do what you did. I'm confident you didn't. No wondering what anybody else was going to think, or what anybody in Washington, or let alone Washington, your hometown, was going to think. And not wondering whether or not they're looking out for you. You're just looking out for the person you're trying to help. You know, you have inherently dangerous jobs, and the least we can do is to make sure they're as safe as possible. Some of the firefighters here know, they've had to hear me 100 times, know that, you know, there's overwhelming evidence that the greatest cause of death of a firefighter or injury is the lack of an adequate number of firefighters. Let me say that again. The greatest danger to a firefighter for his life, limb, is there not enough firefighters. We want to cut down the loss of life, add firefighters. And the same goes for law enforcement. So we got to make sure you have the resources that you need and the benefits you deserve. And as you know, for me and my family, some of you had to hear me before, it's a personal debt I feel to you. Every time I read about an act of heroism like yours, I see emergency responders who save my life after I was told I didn't have much of a chance of living and I couldn't get down to a hospital in time to have a craniotomy to deal with an aneurysm that was bleeding. It was my firehouse that got me down there in the middle of a snowstorm. Every time I see you guys and read about you, I think, and I mean it literally, of the cops and the firefighters who for 3 hours used the jaws of life to save my 2 sons' lives as my wife and daughter died. Every time I see what you guys do and turn on the television, I think of the day lightning struck my home and burned almost most of it to the ground, on the one whole section of it, with my wife inside the home. And I think of how you responded. And there's a lot of people like me out there, a lot of people whose names you never got, a lot of people who you did something for that every single time they read about guys like you are reminded what a debt we owe you. As I said, every time I look at my kids, I see you guys. I see the embodiment of sacrifice and courage that really is the backbone of America. I see a group of women and men coming together with one goal in mind, doing something for the communities, doing something for their neighbors, simply doing something to make things a little better. And guys, the psychic impact you have on a community when you do these things reminds everyone of their shortcomings and what they have to do. I remember right after 9/11 going over to, at the time, it was a secret prison where we had some Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And I remember walking in to that hangar. And they had, instead of having the picture of the President of the United States hanging or a general, they had these prisoners who were Al-Qaeda malcontents who were really bad guys. You know the one picture they had at the end of the hangar? The picture of that grizzled fireman that everybody remembers coming out of the human dust and debris with his face covered in that beard with that look of absolute determination. That single firefighter helped lift America off its knees that day. You guys don't have an understanding, because you don't think of it this way, of the impact you have on your community when something like this happens. When it does happen, when you do what you did, you make everybody in the community a little bit better. So it's more than a platitude when I say we are absolutely committed to matching our words of praise with the support and resources you need to continue making our community safe and keeping yourself safe. We understand that when you're safer, a community's safer. That's why more than $4 million in the Recovery Act was dedicated to hiring new officers, including the ability to keep fire stations open and fire officers as well. Equipment such as bulletproof vests, new technology to give you the tools to do the job that is more safely and more efficiently. And as the Attorney General will tell you, this ain't your father's police department or fire department. You're asked to do things now no law enforcement agency in a state or a locality has ever been asked to do. You're asked to know a little bit about terror. You're asked to be able to recognize whether or not there is an IED. You're asked to whether or not whether there's a toxic chemical. You're asked so many things. We expect so much of you, and you always rise to the occasion. You should know this commitment is not going to stop today or tomorrow in the next 6 months. We're going to work to continue to see that what serves you best is what you get. For your bravery deserves no less. I'm proud to offer my congratulations and our appreciation and the administration's unwavering support to you all. And by the way, I'm not just saying, I got 36 years to back up what I'm saying here. We mean it. We need you. We need you badly, and your job is even more complicated. While we don't say it nearly enough, thank you, thank you, thank you. On behalf of my family personally, and on behalf of every family in America, every individual in America. And sometimes the guys you save, you wonder why you did sometimes, because you turn around and find yourself at the other end of a gun. But guys, you're something special. And so we're delighted to be here today. And as I understand it, what we're going to do now is I'm going to turn it over to the boss, and she's going to read the names of each one of you. And Eric and I are going to recognize you over here, and I'm going to drape the medal on you. And guys, don't be offended if I can't connect it in the back, all right? All right. So congratulations all to the families. Thank you, and I'd like to meet each and every one of the family members, if you're willing, when this is over. Thank you all so very much.
Oh, thank you so much, Vice President Biden. That was wonderful. It's my honor now to begin the conferring of medals. I'm going to read the first citation and then ask that the recipient come forward to receive his medal and certificate, and then we'll do the same for the remaining recipients. The first honoree is Deputy Carl Beyer from the Jefferson County, Missouri Sheriff's Office. On September 8, 2007, Deputy Beyer responded to a report of a violent disturbance at a rural residence in Jefferson County, Missouri. As Deputy Beyer approached the house, a man came outside holding what appeared to be an AK-47 assault rifle and began charging toward the deputy. Throughout the episode, Deputy Beyer kept the 911 dispatch center and the other responding deputies informed of the situation. He actually ordered the deputies not to pull into the driveway because he was fearful that the man would ambush them. Deputy Beyer, without regard for his own life, stood his ground while under continuous fire, incapacitated an enraged suspect, and protected lives. Congratulations, Deputy Beyer. Our next recipients are Chief Randy Poindexter from the Fire Department in Kingfisher, Oklahoma, and Lieutenant Brian Sturgill of the Oklahoma Highway Patrol. On August 19, 2007, Chief Poindexter and Lieutenant Sturgill worked together to coordinate multiple rescues of individuals stranded because of Hurricane Erin, which had flooded parts of Oklahoma the previous night. In one of their rescues, the men assisted two occupants of a submerged pickup truck, and we heard some reference to this before. Lieutenant Sturgill maneuvered the helicopter's skids so they were just under the water, and Chief Poindexter was able to remove the first occupant. The rescue of the second occupant was riskier because Lieutenant Sturgill had to position the helicopter's skids so they were actually deeper in the water. The lieutenant's efforts enabled Chief Poindexter to reach both occupants and get them to safety. I think this is a remarkable story. Congratulations first to Chief Poindexter.
It's a great story.
Chief, I think you'd rather pull him out of the water than to do this, huh?
And congratulations now to Lieutenant Sturgill. Now, our next group of recipients is Lieutenant Paul Pender, Jr., Acting Lieutenant Gerald Murphy, and Firefighter Frederick Johnston, all of the Brookline, Massachusetts Fire Department. Back on April 16, 2008, the Brookline Fire Department responded to a report of a house fire which indicated that someone in a wheelchair was trapped on the second floor. Due to the heavy smoke and the size of the flames, all the firefighters were ordered out of the building. During the evacuation, a backdraft caused the partial collapse of the second floor ceiling. At the same time, firefighter Stephen Nelson was knocked down and was partially buried under the debris. The backdraft also knocked down several firefighters at the second floor doorway, sending one of them tumbling down the stairs and taking Acting Lieutenant Murphy with him. He quickly recovered, however, and crawled back up the stairs, found the nozzle of Engine Company 1's line, and began moving into the fire. At the same time, Lieutenant Pender and Firefighter Johnston rushed up the stairway, where Acting Lieutenant Murphy directed them to Firefighter Nelson. Without hesitation or concern for their own safety, they all advanced to the second floor, located Firefighter Nelson, and rescued him. Afterwards, all four men were treated for second-degree burns. Let's give congratulations first to Lieutenant Pender.
Good job.
Lieutenant, how you doing, buddy? Good job. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I told my wife I was going to say that to you.
Yeah, you Massachusetts guys were already worried. You're spruced up. You straightened me out. Yeah.
Next, congratulations to Acting Lieutenant Murphy.
You know what they want me doing? They want me facing forward. That's because they don't want you back. They don't want to get my bald head, you know? You wouldn't know anything about that, I don't think.
Not me, sir.
I know.
And now let's bring up and congratulate Firefighter Johnston.
Gotcha. I had to straighten it out here.
Our next recipient is Detective Jared Reston of the Jacksonville, Florida Sheriff's Office. On January 29, 2008, Detective Reston was working off duty at the Regency Square Mall when he received a call about two shoplifters. One suspect had been taken into custody, but the other had fled on foot. Detective Reston ran after the fleeing suspect and caught up with him. The suspect turned and shot him several times with a Glock 45 pistol. In spite of his wounds, Detective Reston managed to regain his focus, and while still lying on the ground, wounded, drew out his service weapon and returned fire, striking the suspect several times and ending the pursuit. Let's congratulate Detective Reston. The next recipient is Officer Pedro Garcia III of the San Antonio, Texas Police Department. On September 8, 2008, Officer Garcia and his partner responded to an officer in trouble call to assist three patrol division officers who had come under gunfire while attempting to serve a felony warrant at a residence. Officer Garcia directed a rescue plan to remove a wounded officer. As he approached, he was struck in the face by a bullet or bullet fragment. Despite this injury, he reached the wounded officer and pulled her out of the building into the fenced backyard, while at the same time returning fire. Because Officer Garcia could not safely remove the wounded officer from the backyard without putting them both back into the direct line of fire, he directed another officer to use a patrol car to create an opening in the fence so they could escape. While the gunfire from the house continued, Officer Garcia carried the wounded officer to his patrol car. He drove her down the street to a waiting EMS unit and then returned to the scene to coordinate with his fellow officers until a SWAT team relieved them. Congratulations, Officer Garcia. Our next recipient is Captain Edwin Lynn O'Berry of Palm Beach County, Florida Fire and Rescue. On April 8, 2009, Fire Rescue Captain O'Berry was one of several firefighters at the Palm Beach County Fire Rescue Station 31 changing shifts when he saw Officer Doug Ruaw of the Palm Springs Police Department struck in the head and rendered unconscious by a robbery suspect. Captain O'Berry retrieved his personal firearm from his vehicle, jumped a 6-foot fence with barbed wire on top, which is remarkable, and ran to Officer Ruaw's aid. Another firefighter followed Captain O'Berry and dragged Officer Ruaw to safety, while Captain O'Berry covered them with his weapon. The suspect was carrying Officer Ruaw's handgun when he ran into a 3-foot-wide alley behind a nearby apartment building. Captain O'Berry followed. Once the suspect realized he was cornered, he turned toward Captain O'Berry and pointed the handgun at him. Captain O'Berry and a responding police officer fired at and struck the suspect. Afterwards, Captain O'Berry began rendering aid to the suspect, who was flown to the local trauma center. Congratulations, Captain O'Berry.
Thank you.
Our next recipient is Officer Vidal Alberto Colon of the Milwaukee Police Department. On April 11th last year, Officer Colon and his partner responded to the report of a subject with a gun who was threatening citizens during a dispute. During his foot pursuit, Officer Colon chased the subject through residential yards to the rear of a house. As he neared the subject, the subject stopped to retrieve the handgun he'd dropped. Officer Colon was about 10 feet away and ordered the subject not to move. However, almost simultaneously, the subject fired his weapon at Officer Colon, hitting him in the abdomen. Despite this injury, Officer Colon continued to exchange fire with the subject until both their weapons were empty. When other officers arrived, Officer Colon was able to rise to his feet and make it to the front of the residence to direct them to the subject so he could be taken into custody. Congratulations, Officer Colon. These really are amazing stories that we're getting here. And our final group of recipients today are Fire Lieutenant William Irvin Apple, Firefighter Paramedic Andrew Charles Neff, Firefighter Paramedic Michael Scott Chellis, and Firefighter EMT Timothy Allen Wisely of the City of Maplewood, Missouri, a fire department. And I must note that Missouri seems to be doing well here today. On July 21, 2008, Lieutenant Apple and firefighters Neff, Chellis, and Wisely, along with firefighter Ryan Hummert, were dispatched to a reported vehicle fire. When they arrived, they found a small pickup truck engulfed in flames in the driveway of a house. As firefighters Wisely and Hummert advanced a hose toward the burning vehicle, there was a loud explosion, and firefighter Hummert fell to the ground. Firefighter Wisely began medical treatment of firefighter Hummert and quickly saw that he had been shot in the head. Firefighter Neff ran to assist firefighter Wisely in treating their fallen colleague. None of the firefighters knew the location of the gunman. And while waiting for an ambulance, there was yet another gunshot. This time, it was Maplewood police officer Adam Feit who had been wounded. Firefighter Neff administered emergency medical treatment to Officer Feit while they both were still in the line of fire. Ultimately, Firefighter Neff was able to drag Officer Feit to safety and stayed with him until the ambulance arrived. When Lieutenant Apple realized where the shots were coming from, he directed the firefighters to take cover. Unfortunately, firefighter Hummert had sustained a mortal injury, and firefighter Wisely, who didn't want to leave him, was moved out of the line of fire by Lieutenant Apple and firefighter Chellis. Throughout the incident, Lieutenant Apple provided key information to the command staff until the St. Louis County Police Department tactical team arrived and removed the firefighters in an armored vehicle. So congratulations first to Lieutenant Apple. And then our congratulations to firefighter Neff. we can bring forward firefighter Chellis and congratulate him. And finally, let's bring forward and congratulate firefighter Wisely. Well, thank you all, and I know I speak for the Vice President and the Attorney General when I tell you what an honor it has been for all of us to confer these medals. Now, if I can make one more request, we'd like to have all of the honorees return up on the stage for a group photograph, and thank you all again. This concludes the ceremony.